Hey, I'm Pastor Jerry Burns. Thank you so much for tuning in to Timeless Truths Radio Ministry this Lord's Day. We're going to look at exercise. Now, exercise has a physical benefit, but it doesn't have a spiritual one. What's better than exercise for your life? It's coming up next on Timeless Truths.
I'm a soldier going home.
Glad you could join us this Lord's Day. It is, as I'm recording this, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Snow is falling and everyone is pretty much in the Christmas spirit. Thank you again for joining Timeless Truths Radio Ministry. We're so honored that you could join us for our program today. And we're honored that you could join us as we open the Word of God. We hope that there'll be great spiritual, eternal benefit for your life because you've listened and you've studied with us through the book of 1 Timothy. Now, the Bible teaches us 1 Timothy is a book about it's about the church. It's how to behave ourselves in the house of God. And the scripture says that the house of God is the pillar and the ground of truth. The apostle Paul is writing to a young man named Timothy, and he's encouraging Timothy to stay, and he's encouraging him to fight the good fight of faith. He's reminding him that there will be in this day, there will be those that will fall away. There will be apostasy. There will be false teachers. There'll be dangers. And so the Bible says to be a good minister of the Lord Jesus, chapter 4, verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine whereunto thou hast obtained. Good doctrine's important. We're living in a world today which kind of minimize doctrine, and their attitude is doctrine's not important, but doctrine is important. We need to be nourished in the words of faith. We need to be nourished in good doctrine. Good doctrine separates us from those who teach false doctrine, those who blaspheme the name of the Lord Jesus, those who teach a works-based salvation. So doctrine is important. The teaching, doctrine is teaching, and good doctrine is good teaching. Wholesome words, he says in chapter 6, wholesome words. So we need to be nourished, encouraged by the words of faith and good doctrine. And a good minister warns of the dangers that are ahead. You know, the Bible says in the last days, there'll be those who seek out teachers having itching ears. They'll turn away from the truth. But God bless the pastor, the preacher that stands behind the sacred desk and preaches the truth and is not afraid of people who leave the church, not afraid of people who criticize, not afraid of the world, but preaches, thus saith the Lord. They rebuke and reprove and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. They stay on the right path. Be careful. Be careful, preachers, of this appeal to be politically correct in our day and to turn away from the Word of God. You know, the Bible is truth, and not everyone wants the truth. Not everyone likes the truth. Not everyone wants to hear the truth. But we need to preach the truth of the Word of God. The Bible says that they're nourished up in the words of faith. They're encouraged in good doctrine. Preaching the truth for a minister of God may be difficult, but it's always right. And it's encouraging to side on God's side and to preach the Word of God. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture that we are to preach good doctrine. We are to be a good minister of the Lord Jesus, whereunto thou hast obtained. Timothy did that. He was faithful to the Word of God. He was faithful to Christ, and he preached the truth. And because of that, there was some difficulty within the church at Ephesus. And in chapter 1, it would seem that Timothy wanted to leave. But Paul is encouraging him to stay in the fight, to stay in the battle. It can be difficult, preachers, but it's right to preach the truth and to keep on preaching. Verse number 7 says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." Don't pay attention to them is the idea of to refuse. The word profane is blasphemous. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, the Bible says, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Notice the progression here that is given to us. These profane old wives' fables, they're to be refused. They're not to be paid attention to. But instead, you're to focus on godliness. Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So the goal of the Christian is to be Christ-like, and that goal ought to be the pursuit of every Christian. And so the Bible says that when you follow after profane and vain babblings, they increase unto more ungodliness. They don't lead, or the pursuit is not godliness. The pursuit is ungodliness. The old wives' fables are stories. And these stories were in the culture which I'm talking about, and what Paul, the Apostle Paul here is writing, referring to. They were lifted up in high esteem. The sense of the idea here, these old wives' fables, is the sense of that being silly. They were fiction stories. They were unfounded. And so the Bible says don't focus on them, but rather focus on godliness, rather attempting to try to understand these fables, or don't, you know, spend your time studying these fables. Study the Word of God. Cultivate piety in your life. Seek to become more holy. Take time to be holy, the hymn writer writes. Take time to be holy. So cultivate piety in your life. Seek to become more godly in your life. Titus chapter 1, verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. 1 Timothy 4, 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of what is to come. So here's the thought here. Don't spend your time with these stories, these unfounded stories, these fables, Jewish fables, the commandments of men. Don't spend your time with these. Remember, in the culture, these were lifted up as being important, but instead focus on godliness, focus on cultivating piety and becoming holy in your life as the Lord Jesus works in our hearts and in our lives to guide us into all truth, as the Spirit of God convicts us of our sin, convicts us of our course and our pathway, and leads us to the Lord to be more like Jesus in our attitudes, to be more like Jesus in our responses. You know, this is the fruit of the Spirit, love and joy, long-suffering. These are to be cultivated in our life. And so the Bible says that the focus of these false teachers is a physical ailment, a physical aspect, I should say. I mean, their focus is on, you know, the Jewish stories and you know, what you eat and all of these things. But the Christian needs to focus on their spiritual life, the hidden man of the heart, their walk with God, our prayer life, our time reading the Word of God, and cultivate our walk with God, which is the most important. And the Bible says this is the most important because verse 8 of chapter 4, verse 1 Timothy, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Now, before you use this verse as an escape from going to the gym, I want you to know that the Bible doesn't say that it doesn't profit anything. It does have profit. Bodily exercise does have some profit. It just has little profit. And the reason why it has little profit is because bodily exercise doesn't supersede the spiritual life. You don't exercise, go to the gym, and then, you know, if you were to step into eternity, you're not going to be in heaven saying, I'm glad I went to the gym today. You know, we're going to have a spiritual body, and this old cursed body will be gone. So bodily exercise, it profiteth little. It has physical benefit in this world, in this life, but not the life to come. Now, godliness is profitable unto all things, verse 8, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So exercise will profit this life, but not profit the spiritual life. But godliness will impact your life today, and it's going to impact your eternity. So what's more important? Obviously, we know what's more important. What's more important is our spiritual life, our godliness. And so this is what Paul is helping us to understand. He's helping us to understand the importance of this, that there is one thing that's going to have an eternal impact, and that is godliness or godlikeness as you cultivate piety and devotion in your life, as you seek to draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Then this is going to impact your relationship with your wife. This is going to impact your relationship with your kids. This is going to impact your relationship with your boss, your coworkers. You know what I'm trying to say here. Our walk with God is going to impact every aspect of our life, and it's going to impact our eternity as we seek to bring others to Christ, as we seek to glorify the Lord. As we are faithful in this world through the grace of God, it's going to impact our life on this earth, and it's going to impact our life to come. So exercise only has the physical benefit. A little advantage is the idea of this passage of Scripture. Now, I believe he's talking about the apostate's false religion and the physical part of abstaining from certain foods, the health side of it. The idea that it relates to both physical and spiritual is unscriptural, that you could not eat certain foods and it would have a spiritual benefit for your life is unscriptural. The fact is that that exercise only impacts the physical, not the spiritual. But godliness, which ought to be our focus, is going to impact the world to come. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you have your Bible handy, would you turn there? Chapter 9, verse 25. The Bible says, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as certainly, so run I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Every man that striveth for the mastery, or every man that seeks for that gold medal, he has one characteristic, and that's temperance. He's controlled. He has self-control in all things. Now, a runner, an Olympian, they do it for a corruptible crown, but a Christian does it for an incorruptible crown. So run I not as uncertainly, so run I not as one that beateth the air. The idea to beat the air is like a shadow boxer. I was never into boxing, but the idea there is someone who has purpose, okay? Not as one that beateth the air, not as one that is uncertain, but he brings his body into subjection, lest at any means, when he preached to others, he would lose control and he would be a castaway. So we just have to understand that there's a deeper work of the soul that's not accomplished by our focus on the physical body. It's our focus on cultivating our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "That which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the spirit is spirit." Now, Nicodemus in John chapter 3 was trying to solve a spiritual problem with a physical solution. And, you know, he said, "What do I need to do? Do I need to crawl into my mother's womb and be born again?" And Jesus said, "No, Nicodemus, that which is of the spirit is spirit, that which is of the flesh is flesh." He said, "You must be born again." And that's a spiritual birth. A spiritual birth, and that's accomplished through the Lord Jesus, which he says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him," a spiritual birth, "should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so this promise, this promise of godliness, your spiritual walk with God, is profitable not only for the physical world, but also for the physical, but also for the spiritual world. It's a promise of the life that now is. That's the physical world, the life that now is, the difficulties that you have today, the life that now is. We can probably take some time and we can meditate on the life that now is, the difficulties that we face in our life today, the heartaches, the the health issues, the financial issues, whatever the case is, the life that now is. Our spiritual life will help us with that, how we act and react. But also it's the life to come. That's the eternal. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Verse number 9, the Bible says, this is a faithful saying. It's worthy of all acceptation. The message of eternal life is offered to everyone. Now, this is interesting because in verse number 9, it's going all the way back up to verse number 8. And verse number 8 is talking about godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. So when we talk about godliness, we're saying in verse 9, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. This is the message of godliness, how God makes a person acceptable in his sight is through the mediator, the Lord Jesus. It's through his son and the shed blood on Calvary, that atonement that was made that gives everyone eternal life, they that call upon his name, that trust in him. And I hope you've done that. I hope that you've taken time in your life. You know you're a sinner. You know you're separated from God. You're the enemy of God, Romans 5. And you cannot save yourself. You've sinned against God. You're a sinner by nature and choice. And we cannot save ourselves. We cannot have a physical solution to a spiritual problem. You know, a church membership, baptism, being a good person, all of those are physical solutions. The only way we can solve our problem is a spiritual birth. And that spiritual birth is through the Lord Jesus. He makes us godly. His work on Calvary completes the work. It is finished, he said. And this is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's a message worthy of all acceptation. God truly desires eternal happiness for all men. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Why? Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved. God desires that all men would be saved, that all men would come to the knowledge of the truth and to understand that they are a sinner, that they have sinned against God, and that they cannot save themselves. They cannot save themselves. So the Bible says here in this passage of Scripture that this message is worthy of all acceptation, that it's worthy to be accepted by all. And we're thankful today for God's eternal work, that he's willing, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 11, these things command and teach. So this is a declaration from Paul to Timothy. This is an important doctrine. This is a fundamental doctrine. Teach that Jesus offers salvation to all men. Command others to follow suit. Command others to follow suit. It is a glorious truth. And it is a thing for which a man should unceasingly give thanks to God, that he may go and proclaim that he has provided salvation for all and is willing that all should come and live. It is a great message, a great message. And so Paul says, command and teach this message, this doctrine, that the godliness that is found in the Lord Jesus through his salvation is worthy of all acceptation. We find ourselves in verse number 12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now, here's the thing we need to understand is when people won't listen to what we have to say, then they need to pay attention how we live our life. And this is the example that we find in 1 Peter, when Peter writes about wives who have unbelieving husbands. And he says, you know, don't nag them. Don't keep giving them the gospel. Don't keep telling them they're going to hell. But instead, focus on the hidden man of the heart. Live the Christian life before them. Let the grace of God be bestowed upon their life as they see you live the Christ life. And this is going to make a dynamic difference in their life. And so here Paul says, listen, Timothy, don't let anyone despise your youth. We would assume that Timothy was a young man. He was a young preacher. And there were those who were despising him because he was young. But it's...
We're glad that you joined us for this week's program. Timeless Truths is a ministry of Kitchener Baptist Church in Kitchener, Ontario. We are a refreshingly conservative Baptist church that stands on the preaching and power of the Word of God. We would love for you to worship the Lord with us. We meet on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. If you would like to send your prayer request to Timeless Truths, we would love to pray for you and with you. You can email your request to prayer@kitchenerbaptist.org, or you can reach us by mail at Timeless Truths Radio Ministry, 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. Once again, that is 1720 Glasgow Street, Kitchener, Ontario, N2N0A7. If you have been helped by this ministry, we would love to hear your story. Call us at 519-579-2236 or connect with us through our website at timelesstruths.ca. There you will find beneficial resources and hear more helpful messages from Pastor Jerry Burns. We hope that today's program has encouraged you. Pastor Burns has served at Kitchener Baptist Church for almost 10 years. If he can be of any spiritual help to you or your family, please let him know. Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time when we open the Bible and discover God in His timeless truths.
It's Pastor Jerry Burns, and again, I want to thank you for tuning into our program this Lord's Day. Our society is in a crisis. The Bible teaches us that it is God's Word that will make a difference in our lives, and yet our churches today have turned away from the Bible. The Bible has been replaced with entertainment, and we have left, thus saith the Lord. I want to invite you to a church that still preaches the Bible. At Kitchener Baptist Church, we'll have a time of singing, and then we'll open the Word of God, and we'll see what God is thinking about. We'll see what God cares about. We'll see what God has to say to us. I hope you'll join us this morning at 10:30 at Kitchener Baptist Church. God bless you.